How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. Oh, really? Oh, how precious did that grace appear? Oh, the hour I first believed. Oh, many dangerous toils and snares I have already come. Oh, 'twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I can remember back at 821 Lane Avenue, we used to do it like this. See, when you do it like this, the devil don't know what you're saying. And grace will lead me.
Chapter 6, the first 10 verses. Deacon James McNeil at Greater Middle Baptist Church and the Congress of Christian Education, given the opportunity for him to teach a class, he would say Galatians chapter 6. The first 10 verses. Today I want to encourage each of us. Good evening, or yes, good morning, my sister. I don't know if this is your first time visiting with us, or you kin to the Sparks family. Amen, amen, amen. Be sure I give you my card because I want you to come back. Are you one of those singing sisters or sister-in-laws? I want you to come back. Sister Ursha, I'm going to give you our theme, and then I'm going to give us just a little bit of an introduction, and we're going to dive into this message today. It's a familiar one, and I need to bring back to our attention a burden and a blessing. A burden and a blessing. A burden and a blessing. With regard to this charge I'm going to give you today, because I know how you're feeling, especially for such a time as this. Even I have my moments. The Sister Rankin, I even desire, with the mood and the emotion of quitting, I'm tired. But there is a burden and a blessing to this charge today. Don't give up. Keep doing good. Don't give up. Keep doing good. Thank you, Sister Ursha. I'm going to dive into the text momentarily in a different kind of a way. Somewhat in a conversational kind of way. It is going to be somewhat from the tone of just a mild rebuke with regard for all of us in terms of our walk with the Lord when it concerns doing good. Don't give up doing good, because if I can just help somebody as I travel along, if I can just help somebody with a word or a song, if I could just help somebody from doing wrong, my living, Sister Eccles, shall not be in vain. Oh, my living shall not be in vain. Don't give up doing good. But this is the question that we must ask, because some of us and many of us have a concept of what doing good is. For those of us with responsibility in terms of your faithfulness, in terms of the tithes and the offering, mailing your envelopes to the church faithfully, some would take the position that doing good is I'm paying my tithes and my offering. And that is a dimension. But we need to not have an understanding of what good is, but who is good and perfect. So much so that he alone is worthy to stand in our place that we might be saved. Don't give up doing good. If I might translate that, for such a time as this, especially, don't give up living for Jesus. He is the only one good and perfect. But in doing good, I want you to know this here. It is a burden. It is a burden in doing good. Because in doing good one to another, the burden oftentimes is taxing. Whereas even for the pastor, when he encourages the faithful who say that they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when he encourages them to continue to fellowship, encourages them to continue to exist as Christians, encourage them to continue to proclaim and promote the cause of Jesus and to promote Christian fellowship at Greater Middle Baptist Church. And sometimes you get tired. And it is a burden. As a sidebar, I was listening to a little James Cleveland this morning. He was talking about feeling tired. But let us continue on with the text If I might just read verse 1, that we might see the burden of doing good toward one another. The burden of really bearing another one's burden. Verse 1, one will find these words. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. You want to know who are the spirit ones? These are the ones who've been born again in Christ Jesus. It is our burden to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And that is to say, lest thou also may have to experience the same situation. It could be a season of sorrow that brother and or sister have experienced. So it is our duty to bear that burden with regard to another brother's burden by restoring them. Because in that duty, it will require this, that we endeavor in just a little empathy for one another. In terms of one another's experience, let me continue reading in verse 2. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Endeavoring in empathy for one another's experience. It's a burden on this Christian journey. But it is our duty to bear the burden of our brothers. I didn't say that it would be easy. As a matter of fact, no one told us that it would be easy. No one told us that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, that it would be easy. Nobody told us that if someone smite us on one cheek, that we need to turn the other cheek. No one told us that would be easy. But especially when I say that we must endeavor in empathy with regard to our brother's experience, especially when it is an experience when they are in a season of sorrow. Whereas, if one just so happened to have lost his or her job, we need to put ourselves in their position and see what it is that we can do. Information, need, coat, food pantry. We must put ourselves in someone else's position. It's not difficult. There was a young rich ruler, and he said, Jesus, I'm ready to come and follow you. And he said, I have kept all of the law. But Jesus said, there's one thing that you do lack if you want to come and follow me. I need you to sell everything that you have so that you might give it unto the poor. Because one day, and soon and very soon, I'm going to come back. And I might ask you, did you visit me when I was in jail? I might ask you, did you come and visit me when I was in the hospital? I might ask you, did you come and give me something to eat and you shut the door on me at the food basket? We don't do that at Greater Middle Baptist Church. Isn't that right, Sister Rivers? Sometimes when I come back, I might ask you this. Hungry? Did you feed me? I didn't have clothes. Did you give me clothes? And then your response may be, well, when did we see you in that condition, Jesus? And here's the standard And this is the difficulty of the Christian journey, that it's not easy on nobody's end. When Jesus said that when you fail to do it to the least of these, you have done it also unto me. So I want us to know this here, that when it concerns the burden of bearing another brother's burden, we must put ourselves in their shoes. Because here's what's going to happen. What will happen is this. The goodness of God you give to others shall also be given unto you. I say again, the goodness of God that you give to others, the same shall be given unto you. When we endeavor in empathy for one another's experiences, then also every now and again. I stopped at verse 3, and I want to pick back up at verse 4 when I say not just in somebody else's experiences, but every now and again we need to endeavor in examining ourselves and our experiences. Said I was listening to James Cleveland this morning. He was talking about not feeling tired, but he also was talking about where is your faith? Don't you give up doing good. Don't you stop and cease existing, living for Christ Jesus. For he is good and perfect. Verse 4, as we talk about endeavoring in examining ourselves. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Deacon Cleves, Deacon Lowe, this area is not going to be one of those, you're going to walk into your destiny, you're going to walk into your victory. This is going to be a pastoral rebuke. So don't y'all vote me out just yet. For such a time as this, now it is time for us to examine our decisions with regard to our Christian conscience. For such a time as this. As your pastor, let me let you know where we stand. I don't want to give a lot of oxygen to COVID-19. It's a reality that we have to deal with. But trust me when I tell you this one right here. This is just the first plague. There are 9 more plagues to come. So I need you to examine yourselves, Christians, as well as your Christian conscience with regard to where you're at right now in terms of existing for Christ Jesus. Because until he comes back again, we cannot give up doing good. Because if he gives us another day, that means that we have got to let someone know that Jesus Christ is the answer for our eternal life. If I tell you about your victory right now from a temporal standpoint, that's not going to get you in heaven unless you are born again. And you're born this way, that you believe in your heart. You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to have any money. You don't have to have a good job. You just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe that in your heart, that he died for your sins. And because Jesus is God in the flesh, he got up out of the grave Easter Sunday morning with all power in his hands. And we all be saying together, he arose. And you're saved. It's a burden. And right now, for such a time as this, Facebook worshipers, we got to examine ourselves. Not just through our conscience alone, but through our Christian conscience. So here is the announcement. First Sunday in February, the sanctuary is going to be open. And if your pastor has the doors of his church closed, come to Greater Middle Baptist Church at 4992 Night Armor. 82, my apologies. 4982 Night Armor. And we will receive you. Because we have to reconcile this other dimension in the text. Assembly. Assembly. Because this was just the first plague. We got 9 more to come. And if you don't believe me, just with the news of the day, we're getting ready to go home here. But there's another variant to the COVID crisis that's from South Africa that has impacted somebody that ain't never been nowhere near to somebody that's been to South Africa. And so we say, how can this be? And so the preacher is saying, examine yourselves, even for such a time as this. We have got to continue to exist for Christ Jesus. Don't give up doing good, because the goodness of God you give to others shall also be given unto you. That wasn't too bad, was it? Let's deal with the blessing. Are y'all ready for the blessing? But here's the blessing. The blessing of bearing one another's burden. It is simply this when we look at verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Preachers, it is time for us to teach our people what thus saith the Lord of hosts, that they might teach others, that they may come into a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. Just a constructive criticism. Historically, we have done a good job of singing and so forth. But the time is now for us to teach our people diligently the things of God. Verse 7, and here's why. There's a blessing. Don't give up. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. I say again, verse 7, keep your Bibles open. Facebook, if you have your Bibles, you need to mark verse 7 right now when it says in the parentheses, God is not mocked. Whatever you tell me, I'm going to receive it. I'm going to say, follow your conscience. Now I'm kicking it up another notch. I'm going to also say, examine your Christian conscience. Whatever you tell me, I'm going to say, examine your Christian conscience. Examine yourself. Prove yourself before God, because he's not mocked if you don't quit on it. We can't quit on it, not now. We must continue on. Let me continue reading that verse 7, because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. And verse 10, and we're getting ready to go home with this blessing. As we therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This sermon today, I'm speaking specifically to Greater Middle Baptist Church. And there may be some believers out there in Christ Jesus, and I'm also speaking unto you. When I give you this charge of don't you give up doing good, because there's a blessing in it. For you may not see it now, that before, when I had a little bit more time, I dealt with this theology that some call weeping and sowing, this sowing a seed theology, okay? But I'm just going to tell you just simply who this seed is that you need to be sowing. You need to be sowing the Savior. And the Savior's name is Jesus. Jesus is the seed. When you hear a preacher say, sow the seed, ask him, are you talking about Jesus? What I'm saying unto you, don't you give up doing good. And because the goodness of God that you give to others, the same shall be given unto you. So here's what that means. So therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, Brother Sparks, therefore, Brother Lowe and Sister Rivers and Doc Green, so therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you shall know, your labor is not in vain. I'm going to tell you why. Just a little brief story. To our seniors, our seniors, I see Doc Leggett is here again today. I need you, seniors. I need you right now not to quit on me. I need my mothers to come on back, not to quit on me now. A little story. It's true. It's a historical story. The historians, Eusebius, all of them at the very first 200 years of the Christian church, do you think that this is the first time we have experienced difficulty in the church where we've had to make a decision? Do you think this is the first time? No, it is not. Let me tell you about another senior. And his name was Polycarp. Our Roman Catholic brothers call him Saint Polycarp. He was 86 years old. And as it is the case for Greater Middle Baptist Church, thanks be to God for our seniors, for their supporting and carrying the church. But Polycarp, he had to make a decision as well, seniors. That's why I need you to come back. Because we are carrying the church now to Jesus come back. We've got to carry it to our children and our grandchildren. We've got to continue to carry it because Polycarp told that old Caesar by the name of 45. He told him, I tell you what, Jesus is my Lord, not you, Caesar. I'm not going to recant. I'm not going to take back my faith. Because when we say we're going through, I've got this issue and that issue, back in the second century, for the Christians who proclaimed Jesus as the Lord, they were fed to the lions of Mir. Their heads were cut off. They were sawn in half. But old Polycarp said, I'm not going to recant because I don't feel no ways tired because I know the Lord didn't bring me this far to leave me. So I can't get you to quit on me. I need you, seniors. I need the 70-year-olds, the 80-year-olds, that we might teach this generation. Turn your lives over to Jesus. And don't you quit. That's a true story. It's a fact. So, as it is, it's a fact today. In the year of our Lord, 2021, our seniors are carrying the church. Praise God, amen, and unto others, this was the message today. Don't give up doing good, because he's not mocked. Whatever you shall sow, if you're sowing Jesus the Savior, you're going to reap it, and your labor's not going to be in vain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, our Heavenly Father, I now seek your face now. Someone under the sound of my voice, I pray now that they come to Jesus by their faith. And if they've gone astray into the highways, into the hedges, I'm now compelling them to come on back to the house of God for such a time as this. I know those who've been sick. I'm finna charge it right now. You're the first ones that need to be busting the doors of the church open, saying how I got over and giving your testimony and shout. We can't quit on it because Mo's coming. He's coming, but I know who we trust. He's going to see us through. This side of glory or the other side of the kingdom of God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for your sins. Profess that. All you have to do is call the church office and say, I believe, or email me at pastoreckles@greatermiddlebaptistchurch.org and say, I believe in Jesus. Now I'm ready to be baptized. Based upon my faith. That's our sermon for today. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Deacons in the sanctuary, The doors of the church are now open. Call it, doctor.
I don't feel no waste time. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me road would be easy. Oh, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I don't feel no waste time. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be. Brought me this far. Don't believe
he brought me this far.
I don't believe,
believe
he brought me this far.
Me this far.
Don't leave.
Don't believe.
Don't leave me, Lord.
Don't believe.
Don't leave me.
Me this far.
Don't leave me.
Don't
leave me now. We need you right
don't
now.
Believe,
yes, we do. Don't leave.
Don't
leave me, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Don't believe. Brought me this far. Don't believe. Brought me this far. Don't.
Spirit told me, Doc Sparks, you wanted that mic. But if we had more time, I was going to give it to you and say blessings. Amen. It's so good to see the family today. Amen, amen, amen. I know what God has done, and to him we give the glory. Brother Chairman, can we go home? You're supposed to be off today. I'm not going to ask you. Judge Bennett, can we go home, sir? Yes, sir. Let us stand. Let us stand. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Amen. Thank you, Brother Chairman. Thank you for all you do. Man behind the scenes, you and Sister Cleaves, all you do behind the scenes. And as we at the altar call time, I want to be mindful of a special prayer request. And I'm just going to say it's a woman. And the power of Jesus is this. He knows the name. And he knows where the person is and what the need is. And all we have to do is have that particular individual in our heart and lift that soul up unto Jesus. And he's able to do what she needs done right now. And then also there's another young man that's a friend of this fellowship. His name is Bobby Franks. And I want us to lift him up in prayer. And then I got news concerning a pastor, and that is the pastor at, oh, they used to be near the Walter Peggs, Fairview. I got word on him that we need to pray for his recovery. And there was another sister that I got word that friends from a home church that is in need of prayer, and her name is Barbara. And these are the ones we're going to pray for. And there are others, I don't have all the names, but these were made aware to me today or this week during by way of the office. And I want to lift them up now. And as we said, intercessory prayer. We spoke just momentarily about the burden for one another. But it is certainly the burden that we pray for one another because he had called us to care, love, and to pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we seek your face now, and we want to pray for our sisters and our brothers, Father. But before doing so, we now need to clean ourselves up before we approach thy throne of grace, Father. And we know at your throne the grace never runs out. But we need you to clean us up to make us whiter than snow. So now we confess our faults, Father. Have mercy on our souls. That you will hear our prayer today and that you will turn your ear to our concern. And Father, our concern is for one another. Let me first say thank you, Jesus, for Michael Rivers. He's been faithful to this fellowship and unto you. He's in the sanctuary. Thank you for what you've done and you continue to do. But there is a woman, and I lift her up now, Father. Continue the recovery that is necessary and the improved health that is necessary. And I know what she will do. She'll remain faithful, and when she come out on the other side, she'll give the testimony that Jesus did. And this is our prayer for her. Bobby Franks, surgeon, got the hand with the surgeon. And we're going to trust in you, Father. And when he come out on the other side, we'll give the testimony. For one of your pastors, Father, give him the wellness that he needs because he did not stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He needs your strength. He and others, Father, hold up your pastors, Father, because we can't quit. We must continue preaching Christ Jesus and him crucified. Give him the recovery. Sister Jones, the superintendent at Middle Baptist Church, Whitehaven, continue her recovery as well, Father. And we're going to give you the glory, the honor, and praise. And for all who have a concern now, Father, we lay now at the altar that so that we may be able to lift up our heads and say now unto him who is able to do all things, that which is above our imaginations. And we're going to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. This is our prayer today, Father. And now we're going to ask that you continue to bless and keep us as we leave your holy sanctuary. We pray that your grace, your peace, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, that it rest, rule, and abide with us until we meet again. And together, let us say, Amen. 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 Tell someone that you love them. Give them a high five.